Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 40 degrees and overcast. Today is Tuesday, April 24th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. A bus full of librarians and volunteers cruised around Sitka last night, handing out copies of The Hunger Games and other titles to anyone who wanted one. It's a part of World Book Night, a book giveaway happening in 6,000 American cities. Sarah Bell is the director of Kettleson Memorial Library. She says reading exercises the brain and allows it to make new connections.
And if you read fiction, which I always, you know, I'm a big fiction reader and I had guilt complex about it being kind of fluffy, fiction readers tend to be have better social skills. They tend to be more empathetic because they're always exploring human, you know, relationships and quandaries and all that. So reading is great because it makes you continues, you know, to develop your brain and it makes you a nicer person.
You are so excited when you talk about this.
I am. Reading is something that I just think is wonderful. And I know the benefits and I just sometimes feel like maybe other people need to hear the benefits.
The bus began its cruise at Spruce Grove Apartments shortly after 4 p.m. and ended its tour around 7 near the Coast Guard housing. In between, it stopped at the Baranoff Island Brewing Company, the Indian River Neighborhood, C-Mart, McDonald's, the P-Bar, Ernie's, Mount Edgecombe High School, and more. The group distributed 10 titles in all, including copies of Otto the Book Bear, in memory of librarian Nancy Gustafson, who died late last year. This year, the American College of Sports Medicine is casting a wide net to prevent injuries by highlighting the role of the trainer. The job is about a lot more than rushing in with a roll of tape and scissors when a player is down on the field. Trainers may be the difference between a quick recovery and unnecessarily prolonged injury for young athletes. Last year, the college was among the organizations that took a hard look at the rate of concussion in high school sports in Alaska. Its efforts eventually led to state legislation requiring a thorough evaluation of any athlete suffering from a concussion before allowing a return to play. Sitka physician Don Lehman is one of two Alaska doctors who are fellows of the American College of Sports Medicine. Rod Walters is a doctor of arts who served as the director of sports medicine at the University of South Carolina for 17 years. Walters is on a college-sponsored speakers tour of Alaska, trying to help coaches and doctors bridge the gap created by the widespread absence of trainers in secondary sports programs. The two stopped by KCAW yesterday to talk about the issue.
Trainers are key for preventing injuries as well, and Alaska is one of only three states that does not require athletic trainers to be part of the high school sports program.
One of the biggest problems with injuries are re-injuries. And improper rehabilitation can, you know, you can have a very high incidence of re-injury. So that's very costly to insurance. It's costly to time loss. It's costly in pain to the in suffering to the patient.
Increasingly, schools are realizing the value to have an athletic trainer on their staff. That's somebody that the kids can talk with, the kids get used to, familiar with, because the coaches aren't always the person who know about injuries and how to prevent injuries and how to treat injuries.
When I first came out of college, you know, if you had an anterior cruciate reconstruction, they would cut you from right below your knee to about mid-thigh because they were going to take out a big piece of tissue out of your IT band on the outside of your leg. They made a ligament out of it. We casted those things for 6 months, didn't let them move, and now you get surgery and you're moving the next day. So, I mean, it's, you know, we do things now arthroscopically. That's really evolved.
I remember one coach saying to me many years ago, yeah, kids just aren't as tough nowadays. The other thing that we had in Alaska, especially with the 3A, the seasons are so short and there is a lot of pressure to get them back. But, you know, my concern always first is, you know, making sure the kid is safe, and then everything else falls after that.
Don Lehman is a doctor in Sitka and a fellow of the American College of Sports Medicine. Rod Walters was inducted into the Athletic Trainers Hall of Fame in 2005. Walters will give a presentation tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. in the Gil Truett Activity Center at Mount Edgecombe High School on lower extremity injury prevention and management. His tour will conclude later this week in Ketchikan. To hear extended audio of this interview, visit our website, kcaw.org. Alaska Native Brotherhood and Sisterhood leaders made a unique boat trip through the waters of the Inside Passage this month. Their voyage harkened back to the days when local camp officials from towns and villages around the region would travel on fishing boats to attend Grand Camp conventions. The Brotherhood was founded a century ago, followed a year later by the Sisterhood, so this journey had special meaning for the cultural and civil rights organizations. Matt Lichtenstein caught up with them when they were stopped in Petersburg.
A celebration awaited the 65-foot motor vessel Christian when she arrived at Petersburg South Harbor earlier this month. Local members of the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Sisterhood came to drum and sing her in, a traditional welcome. Sisterhood Grand President Mary Brown was among the passengers who spoke at a well-attended potluck later.
When we seen you gathering, we said, there they are, they're up on the docks. We were excited and so pleased to be welcomed into your community.
The trip started in Kluwak earlier this month and went on to Wrangell before the stop in Petersburg. For Brown, it was reminiscent of her youth.
I remember our A&B and A&S members leaving on a same boat to go to the convention because they couldn't afford to fly. And I remember them drumming and singing as they were leaving the docks. And then I got to travel with my mother to a Salvation Army Congress, and I remembered pulling into Cake, and the Salvation Army people on the boat were drumming and singing. And then they stopped, and I could hear the drums coming from Cake as the boat was going in, and it was just full of people.
And that was what Brown envisioned for this trip. She called it spiritually uplifting. It gave her energy. She was not alone.
It just warms my heart to see this boat here and see the people here.
Petersburg A&B Camp President Ross Lanook III was unable to go on the voyage, but he was excited to greet the MV Christian with song and drum. The arrival reminded him of his parents, who were also members of the A&B and A&S. Nanook said he's always been involved with the organization. He said it's in his blood.
I've always lived the Native life, you know, growing up with my grandparents and my parents. We subsisted, as they call it, you know, and we lived off the land. I grew up on salmon and seal and deer and all the foods, wild celery, seaweed, berries, everything you can find around here. My grandparents took us out and we picked it.
According to Sisterhood Executive Committee member and former Grand President Mary Guthrie of Kluwak, Christian faith is the foundation of A&B, A&S, and that faith runs deep.
And the old-timers, when I first started going to convention in 1984, would stand up, and this is what they used to say at every convention is, if you cut open my chest, you will find A&S or A&B engraved on the heart. And that's how I feel, and I'm real happy to say that, and I've got full trust in the fact that this organization shall live and not die.
A&B and A&S are probably best known for their central role in the historic struggle for Native civil rights and against discrimination in Alaska. That mission continues today. Cecilia Lopez-Tavalero is an executive committee member of the A&S and former grand president. She brought along a copy of the newly shared constitution that the Brotherhood and Sisterhood adopted together at last year's Grand Camp Convention.
The mission of the A&B and A&S is to better the lives of Native people and their families, to fight for civil rights and land rights for all Native people, to share the cultural knowledge, wisdom, and artistic beauty of Native tribal societies, and to strive for a spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood among all people.
Bringing back more Native culture and education to Petersburg is key for local A&S Camp President Brenda Louise, who also serves as the Sisterhood's Grand Sergeant-at-Arms. She got on the boat in Petersburg.
And being able to go on this trip to Cake, Huna, and Goon, where culture has been alive and strong for a long time, is very exciting. I'm excited about learning new things. I'm excited about bringing it back to our camp. And I'm excited about the company that we have on the boat.
The Alaska Native Brotherhood will hold its 100th Grand Camp Convention this fall, and next fall it's the Sisterhood Centennial. For AK, I'm Matt Lichtenstein in Petersburg.
The Sitka Assembly is set to vote tonight on how much money it will give to the Sitka School District. The city is required to make an annual appropriation to the school district. The resolution the Assembly will consider tonight calls for a contribution of $5.9 million. Members of the school board and the assembly have been at odds, at least philosophically, about the amount of money schools should receive from the city. That's in part because both organizations have very tight budgets this year. The school district cut a couple of positions and is drawing heavily on its reserve accounts to balance the budget. The city of Sitka's municipal budget, meanwhile, calls for about $1.2 million in cuts. The assembly takes up the budget during a work session on Thursday. Besides the contribution to the school district, tonight's assembly meeting includes approval of revised design plans for Pacific High School and the approval of a contract for improvements to Moeller Field. The meeting begins at 6 p.m. inside Harrigan Centennial Hall. Raven Radio will provide live coverage. And lawmakers in the State House of Representatives appear cautious but open to Governor Parnell's new oil tax plan. The bill is now being heard in the Resources Committee, where members, through their economic consultants, are taking a show-me approach to cutting taxes. In reviewing the state's current tax regime, ACES, Janik Mayer of PFC Energy told the committee on Sunday that it works well for a taxing entity where its resources being harvested, where the money earned from production is invested elsewhere. He compared the tax to rent, where the state gets the most money it can from declining production.
One of the main competitive jurisdictions for Alaska is the lower 48 as a destination for cash. And what we see there is significantly lower government take, which is one of the things that makes it harder at the moment in the current climate for Alaska to compete within companies' portfolios for investment dollars.
The House Resources Committee has scheduled two hearings per day for the rest of this week. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for cloudy skies, isolated rain showers in the morning, highs around 50, east winds 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, highs around 53. This is KCAW in Sitka.